Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
1, 2, 3, let's go. I am a winner and not a loser. I am a victor and not a victim. I have changed my mind and my attitude to reflect what God says about me. My faith is built on God's word. I can do all that God says I can do. Nothing is impossible from this moment on, for I am a new breed, a new kind, a remnant, and I am after. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. In the name of the Lord, we are going to read many verses. Tell your neighbor many verses. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I will read it. You will stand with me for a while. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, I'm reading from the King James Version, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Help me to read verse number 4 to verse number 10. Let's go. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Verse 7, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out, set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Verse 13, and the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next, and the 3rd Shammah. Verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Verse 17, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, all that men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went. Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel in the come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You can sit on Goliath. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We want to take time to look at some truths, and then we are going to pray today, God helping us. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, we began by looking at the story of David, and we were able to establish that the only thing which can happen in your life is that which God has predestinated. Praise the name of the Lord. And we saw that David, in as much as he was forgotten by his father, later Pastor Kev, David said, "My mother and my father may forget me, but the Lord will pick me up." And we saw that when Samuel came to the house of Jesse to choose a king for God, that the person who God had ordained to be king was not invited for the ceremony. And we were able to establish, people of God, that whatever God has designed your life to be, there is no prophet in the name of Samuel, and there is no father in the name of Jesse, and there is no brother in the name of Eliab or Abinadab or Shammah that can be able to stop it, Church of God. Yes, praise the name of the Lord. And so we saw a situation where the people who came for the interview had locked out the youngest son of Jesse because he was young and he was doing a small job. They knew that he was fit for the pasture. And for sure, if God is looking for a king, he's not going to look for a shepherd. He's gonna look for a military man. Because in those days, it was mandatory that people who, sons who are above the age of 21, should be conscripted to the army. And David, at this time, was around 16 or 17. He hadn't even gone to any war. And the king of necessity must have been a man of war, a man that has been to battle so that he can be able to lead the nation. And we saw that God picked the shepherd boy and he brought him to the house of Jesse where the ceremony was happening. And the Bible tells us that God told Samuel, "This is he, arise and anoint him." And I remember I said here, people of God, that the first time the name David appears in the scripture is after oil has been poured on his head. Praise the Lord. There is a problem if your name precedes the anointing that is supposed to come on your head. Glory to God. Because it is the anointing that is going to introduce you to the place where God is taking you. Yes, and I said here that the flask that was used to pour oil on the head of Saul was made of brittle glass. It was made by the fabrication of the hands of men. And we saw that the problem with receiving anointing from a brittle glass is because it is not going to help you to do what God has said. We saw that Saul found himself at a place of disobedience. And I don't want to repeat that, but if we compare with David, we see that the oil that was poured on his head came from a horn that had been cut from a bull. And I was able to show here that before you get a horn, you must kill the bull. Praise the Lord. Something must die before you get the horn. In other words, there must be a shedding of blood before there is oil on your head. And I said here, for every believer that is born again, people of God, you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And redemption precedes the anointing that God pours on your head. Glory to God. Every person that has been redeemed by the blood qualifies for that oil that comes from the horn that God has put on top of your head. Hallelujah. The anointing is not a reserve for prophets. It is not a reserve for apostles. It is not a reserve for pastors. It is a reserve for every person that has been washed by the blood of Christ. Glory to God. And so David is introduced by name. And the Bible tells us it is not just oil that came upon his head. The Spirit of God came upon him. Praise the name of the Lord. The Spirit of God came upon him that as a sign that God is with him from that day onwards. And that spirit that was upon Saul left Saul and came upon David. And we see an interesting situation that when the Spirit of God left Saul, that another spirit from God was permitted to torment him. Praise the name of the Lord. Because a human being cannot be without a spirit that controls him. There has to be something that dictates your behavior. There has to be a spirit that determines how you live your life. And the problem is when the Spirit of God leaves you, Jesus later said that when a person has been delivered from spirits and they go to the desert, he said that if these demons come back and find that the house has been swept and kept in order, but without an occupier, they are going to come back 7 times. What I'm trying to say here, people of God, is that you need the Spirit of God forever in your life. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him from that day onwards. Praise the Lord. And I came to announce this morning that if God has anointed you, the Spirit of God is upon you. And that spirit is not going to be removed so long as you walk in obedience and so long as you walk according to what God has said. The Spirit of God will come upon you to enable you to do that which God has called you to do. Praise the name of the Lord. So the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 opens man of God with an interesting scripture. And the Bible tells us that now the Philistines had made an arrangement of war. Praise the name of the Lord. And they came to a place that is called Shoko. I'm going to give you the meaning of those names shortly. But what I want us to understand is that the Philistine had always fought the children of Israel from time immemorial. If we trace the history of the children of Israel, we pick it up from Egypt. And I showed here last Sunday that the blood of the lamb delivers you from the Egyptian. Pastor Kev, I know you can remember that. Praise the name of the Lord. And the sword of the Spirit, after you have crossed the Red Sea, it delivers you from Amalek. Amalek is the enemy that comes to stop you from moving forward towards the promises of God. And the Bible tells us that when they moved forward, the promised land was not an occupied people of God. And I want us to understand one thing, my dear brothers and sisters, that so in as much as God has promised it, it doesn't mean that it will be delivered on a silver platter. The promised land was occupied by the Canaanite. The promised land was occupied by the Philistines. And so when the children of Israel went and were settling into the land, they consistently had to fight an enemy called the Philistine. He used to offend the children of Israel all the time and put up battle positions and threaten the people of God. And 1 Samuel chapter 17 is such a picture of what the Philistine wants to do. And I want us to see, people of God, that the Bible tells us in verse number 1. Do we have it, verse number 1? Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Let me give you the meaning of the names. First of all, I want you to understand that in every battle, every military wants to take a strategic position. Praise the name of the Lord. So when Russia is fighting Ukraine, they are not going to attack schools. They are not going to attack. They are not going to attack hospitals. They are going to attack strategic military positions that will weaken the defense of the enemy. And I want you to see what is happening there. The Philistine has gathered its armies at a place called Shoko, which belongs to Judah. People of God, I want you to understand, in your battles in the faith and in your spiritual warfare, the enemy first targets a strategic position called Judah. Praise the Lord. Those of you who know Judah means hallelujah, Judah means praise the Lord. The enemy knows that if he wants to discomfit you and he wants to defeat you, the first place is to ensure that he shuts your mouth so that you don't give God praise. Praise the Lord. So you can see, where is it? Aye. The Philistine. Where is the Philistine? Glory to God. He says, they set up a battle in array at a place called Shoko in Bethlehem, in Judah. And people of God, you need to understand that if the enemy can steal praise from your mouth, then he has access to everything else in your life. Because the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 22, verse number 3, that thou art holy, thou that abideth in the praises of your people Israel. The abiding place of God is praise, and the enemy targets the place where God dwells. Praise the name of the Lord. So he wants to sit on praise. He wants to sit on Judah so that you don't give God the praise. And when your mouth is shut and no psalm is coming from your mouth and no song is coming from your mouth and no thanks is coming from your mouth, the enemy knows that occupation of Judah is a strategic advantage. Glory to God. So I want us to see that the first tactic of the enemy is occupation of Judah. And we need to be careful, so much so that in as much as we are fighting battles every day, that the enemy does not take praise from our mouths. Yes, and from our lives. Glory to God. And I want to pray that your song will be like that of David, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Continually does not mean that you only praise God when you have your rent. It doesn't mean that you praise God when you have fare to work. It doesn't mean that you praise God when you have fuel to go to your business. It doesn't mean that you only praise God when the marriage is working and when you are having a longer honeymoon season in your life than it should be. We have been told that honeymoon lasts 3 years. There are people who want to praise God only if the honeymoon is 10 years. But when they enter the second phase of marriage, they believe that the Philistine has come into their house. It could be true, but don't allow the Philistine to sit on praise. Your praise should not be circumstantial. Your praise should be continuous. Praise the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord when I have a salary or not. I will bless the Lord when my marriage is working or not. I will bless the Lord when my body is sick or not. Somebody, am I speaking to somebody here? Praise is not supposed to be circumstantial. Praise is supposed to be continuous in your mouth. And the devil knows that so long as you have continuity of praise, that God continues to rule in your life. Because praise is the throne on earth that God sits on to rule over the affairs of men. Glory to God. So the Bible says there, give us verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I will finish shortly in Jesus' name. So man of God, Pastor Stan, they occupy a place called Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, between Shoko and Azekah. So what this means, there is a place called Judah, which is your hallelujah and which is your praise. And in Judah, there is a place called Azekah and a place called Shoko. Shoko is the Hebrew word for defense. And Azekah means strength. People of God, defense and strength are in hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody here? Yes, the person that sings hallelujah continually has defense from the enemy. Glory to God. The person that has praise in their mouth continually has strength. Listen to me, people of God. If there is no hallelujah in your mouth, you are defenseless and you are without strength. That is why the enemy comes to Shoko and Azekah, because he knows when I occupy Shoko and I occupy Azekah, then hallelujah has been sat on. Praise the Lord. Now look at that. and Azekah in Ephes Damim. The most interesting thing here is that there's a mountain on this side. There's a mountain on this other side. There is a valley in between. And the Bible tells us that Israel was on one side of the mountain and the Philistine was on the other side of the mountain. And there was a valley in between them. And the Bible tells us that that place was called Ephes Damim. Now, the meaning of that word, man of God, is the line of blood. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to understand, people of God, the enemy can occupy a place called Judah. He can occupy a place called Shoko. He can occupy a place called Azekah, but he cannot cross the bloodline, people of God. I want you to understand that if you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, that there is a bloodline that the Philistine cannot be able to cross. Let me come this side because I get a better amen this side. I want you to understand, in as much as there is warfare in your life, there is a bloodline, there is a fence called Ephes Damim, people of God. The people of the Philistine, the soldiers from Philistia, they can shout from the other side. They can insult you from the other side. They can try to stop you praising the Lord. They will ask you, why are you praising the Lord and your life is in shambles? Why are you praising the Lord and you don't have a job? Why are you praising the Lord and you have lost your marriage? Why are you praising the Lord and you don't have school fees? They can shout whatever they want, but I want you to understand, every believer's life has a bloodline. And that blood is the blood of Jesus, somebody. I came to announce that the enemy cannot cross the bloodline. He can shout from the other side. He can scream from the other side, but for sure, he cannot cross the bloodline. Because even enemy activity in your life is as much as God has allowed. You remember the conversation between God and Satan? The devil is not free to do what he wants with your life. Even the oppression that he brings has been controlled. There is a control center, people of God. And the Bible says that Jesus told Peter, 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 the enemy has been permitted to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, glory to God, that after you have overcome him, you will come and strengthen your brothers. Glory to God. I want you to understand that the devil will never cross the bloodline. The blood of Jesus is your defense. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is the one that secures you from the affront of the enemy. Glory to God. And so, the Bible tells us, in this kind of situation, there emerged a champion. You know, so I've told you, the first thing the enemy does is occupation of Judah. Follow me slowly. Once he has occupied Judah, then he deploys the next tactic or strategy, which is intimidation. I was looking at this scripture and I asked myself, this man, is it verse 3? Let's have it. I want you to see this champion. The Bible says that verse 4. What does it say? Verse 4, give us verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verse 5. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Verse 7. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. People of God, I want you to see something here. That the giants you're facing in your life have been designed for intimidation, not to defeat you. Praise the name of the Lord. If this gentleman or this guy was a giant and he was a champion, I don't believe that champions have to put on a defensive armor, man of God. Is it that he had to put on all this type of gear that we are told? In fact, if you study a little bit, you'll be told that the average weight of whatever he was wearing was around 240 pounds, which is easily 100 or something kilograms. If he was truly a champion, why is it that he came defended like this? It's because what the enemy does, the enemy comes to your camp and he wants to threaten you by his size, and he wants to threaten you by his looks. He wants to intimidate you. I want you to understand, Paul said that we are aware of his tactics. We are not ignorant of his tactics. Praise the name of the Lord. So other than occupation of Judah, the enemy is interested in intimidation, and he intimidates you with the way he looks and the way he speaks to you. Look at the next verse when he comes down. So the enemy may look like you can't defeat him. He's too big to be defeated. He's too fearsome or threatening to be defeated. Look at it. So other than how he looks, how he speaks, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said, why are ye come out to set a battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and these servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. What he's saying, I am a Philistine. I have fought many battles. I have won many wars. And you people are servants of Saul. You have never won any war. You have never defeated anything in your life. What the devil does to you is that he threatens you and says, because you have never had any victory in your life, even this one you're not going to win. You are a mere servant. You have no military ability. You have no spiritual power to conquer me. And listen to me. The intention of intimidation is to create fear. Hallelujah. Someone told me, I don't know how true it is, that 90% of the things you fear don't happen. You know, I have to say, I don't know, because Pastor Stan will ask me for empirical evidence. Fear. There are people who believe have been defeated before they have been defeated. There are people who believe they are going to divorce before they are married. There are people who know they are taking a loan and the business is going to collapse, and they believe it. That is what the enemy does. He intimidates you by how he looks, and he intimidates you by how he speaks. The Bible says, choose ye a man for you and let him come down to me. So other than occupation, his second strategy is intimidation, to create fear. So that you become an unstarter. So that you withdraw from your position. So that you don't defend your hallelujah. So that you don't defend Judah. He decides to intimidate you. And I want you to listen to me. Look at the next verse. What does it say? Verse number 9. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. Glory to God. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Threats and intimidation. And that's the life of many of us. We fear things that the enemy has said. If you start that business, it's gonna collapse because you are a poor entrepreneur. If you start that ministry, you will go nowhere. You'll be scandalized. You want to sing a song, you cannot sing. You cannot go anywhere. Just stop it. Keep quiet. Don't make any attempt. And he shouts from the other side of the bloodline to create fear and to cause intimidation and to break your spirit. We are told that in every battle, you must first win that battle psychologically. That is why when the boxers, you know, do you guys know Manonga Mtukazi? Praise the Lord. When they meet for the for their weight to be taken, they normally threaten one another so that you defeat the person in their mind before you go into the ring. Listen to me, no matter how big you look, so long as Mandonga Mtukazi has dismantled your mind, you're going to lose that fight. Hallelujah. Yes, the battle is in the mind. Spiritual battle happens in the mind. Yes, sir. people of God. There are people here because of the number of heartbreaks they have had. They believe they can never make a better spouse. Because all the breakups you have had, you are the one who has been left. You have never had the privilege of leaving somebody. You know, if you leave somebody, you normally feel powerful. But if you are left all the time, praise the name of the Lord. So they come to the pastor and say, man of God, I have a spirit of rejection. Nobody wants to marry me. Every woman I want to marry, they get a richer person. They get a mutwa mirabamine person. Pastor Des, hallelujah. He knows the joke. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to me. The battle is in the mind. And that is why even Pastor Stan has taught us many days that we need to renew our mind by not conforming to the patterns of the world. I want you to understand that your history does not determine your destiny.
Yes, sir.
Let me come this side. Listen to me. Your history does not determine where you are going. The man of God, Pastor Stan, told us that the system of the world is in such a way that they look at our history to determine whether they can give us a future. But the future that God gives does not depend on history. It depends on God's plan for your life.
Yes, sir.
Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know, people of God, that so long as you win the battle in your mind, the voices of Goliath, the voices of the Philistine in your mind, if you can be able to defeat the enemy in your mind, you can achieve anything that God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible tells us, man of God, Pastor Chadwick, he says that Saul and his men, when they heard those words, they became afraid and they fled from the presence of the enemy who has occupied your territory. By words, by how he looks and how he speaks, the king Saul fled. The person that the children of Israel said, choose us a man so that he can lead us to battle. The one that is supposed to be leading from the front has put a tail between his legs and is running away. If the king is running, why should I fight? Praise the name of the Lord. You remember when Saul was chosen, the Bible tells us that he was tall and he was head higher above his equals. He was actually the tallest in the army. That is what it means. And when you go to war, it is supposed to be the tallest in our army, at least with Goliath. But the one that is supposed to confront him is afraid and is running away. Man of God, Pastor Stan, to the extent that he said, I am going to give somebody a reward if he fights on my behalf. And he said, if you confront Goliath, I will give you money. Number two, I will give you my daughter. And number three, KRA will never have a logo in any of your documents. Hallelujah. You will never pay housing levy. And you will never pay, is it 18 or 16% VAT? Praise the Lord. If the king is running, my goodness, where are we? Hallelujah. And you see, the battle had not yet started. It was a war of words. Listen to me, people of God. Spiritual battle is fought by words. Glory to God. It was a war of words. Man of God, Jesse, it is a war of words. That is why you need to know some other words to speak back. Glory to God. You are not going to win any spiritual battle if you keep your mouth shut. Pastor Kev has taught many times that the word is to be spoken audibly. Glory to God. Some people say, me, I just worship God with my heart and I speak the word of God. Listen to me. You don't even talk to your husband or your mother with your heart. The heart is for beating the blood, not for talking. The mouth is for talking. Hallelujah. Even if you love somebody with your heart, you have to say it with your mouth. I love you from the bottom of my... I don't know what is at the top of that heart. Hallelujah. power of words. Imagine, you are running away because of what the enemy has said. Not because of what he has done. This guy has not even drawn his sword. Glory to God. I want to show you something. Then you are going to pray. When the king was fleeing, you know he was running away as he's announcing the offer. You know, if there is somebody, come. You're never going to pay tax. You will become my son-in-law. You're going to marry a princess. And you're going to be given prize money. And the men of Israel could not take the offer. Yeah? Let me remain with my problems. I'm not facing the giant. Praise the name of the Lord. But I want to show you something interesting. That when this battle was happening, people of God, the spirit had left Saul and was resting on another boy again who was missing in action. Hallelujah. He went to war without the hand of God. He went to war without the presence of God. Listen to me. When the hand of God is not upon you, you will spend the rest of your life, running away. Just because of what the enemy has said. And there is an elder. Glory to God. His name is Jesse. And I can see he was in the spirit. And he said, we have fought battles with Philistine for a long time. But there is no battle that has taken more than 40 days. Yes, sir. These guys, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah, have followed the king to fight. And 40 days, they have not come home. There were no mobile phones. There was no internet. There was no social media. And so he thought that these people, something must be wrong. And Jesse, I want to believe that he was in the spirit of God. That is the time that he told David, take this to your brothers at war and see how they are doing. And the one upon whom there was oil from the horn, the one upon whom there was the presence of God and the hand of God, he became a delivery boy, carrying the message, carrying the provision of his father to the soldiers that are at the battlefront, people of God. But I see and can hear the Holy Spirit telling me that sometimes the delivery boy becomes the deliverer. Am I speaking to somebody here? He was coming with bread and butter and cheeses, and he had a donkey. He was going to check how his brothers are doing, and every person ran away from the champion of the Philistines, people of God. They did not know that there is another who was anointed by God to be king, and he is not in the battle. And Jesse, the father of David, must have been in the spirit to discern that the spirit left Saul, and therefore the battle is taking longer than normal. People of God, you cannot win spiritual warfare without the Spirit of God. That is why the battle was taking 40 days. Every morning and evening, the enemy would come and say the same thing, but the king would run away because he didn't have the hand of God upon him. And so Jesse dispatched the deliverer as a delivery boy. Glory to God. And so he goes there into the war. And the Bible says that when he arrived there, he went to his brothers. And God is interesting because he has a way of timing. When David went to the battle arrangement, the Bible says that that is the time that Goliath came out to shout the same insults against the people of God and against the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Bible says that David heard those words. Listen to me. Before David came, Saul and the soldiers heard the words and they fled. But when David came, he heard those words and he remained. Yes, sir. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a difference between the person that hears the words of the enemy, full of the spirit, and another that hears the words of the enemy, and the hand of the Lord is not upon them. Praise the name of the Lord. He heard those words and he said, listen, listen, listen. This war is not a war that we should run away from. This is a war of words. David heard those words. Look at what he says. Verse number 24. What does he say? Look at it. We are going to pray shortly. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? They are busy describing the enemy. That is what happens to many of us. We have become experts of our challenge. And we can describe the anatomy of divorce. And we can describe the physiology of death. And we can describe the biochemistry of heartbreak. And we can describe expertly. We can write actually a concept paper on the same. Because the enemy wants you to focus on the problems that he has thrown your way. And you begin to advertise how it is impossible to conquer such a giant. Have you seen this man? Have you met those people who tell you it is impossible? The situation you are in, it is impossible. I want to be honest with you. That one, you will not make it. Because I was there and also I did not. Because losers recruit fellow losers. They want the company to be big. Glory to God. But when David heard these words, he heard them. These other guys were saying, hi! Have you seen that man? Have you seen his height? Give us verse 26. Is it 26? Yes. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David knew that this had nothing to do with the army of Israel. It had all to do with God. It was a spiritual battle. And he came there and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Circumcision was a sign of being in covenant with God. And every soldier in the army of Israel must of necessity have been circumcised on the eighth day. And he comes and says, this guy is not in covenant with anyone. He's not in covenant with God. How can we who are in covenant with God flee from a person that is not circumcised, that is not in covenant with God? And he says that he should defy the armies of the living God. Verse 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled, verse 29, against David, and he said, why comest thou hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. This guy is getting angry, but for 40 days, he couldn't do anything. And his younger brother, you remember that he was anointed among his brethren. Praise the Lord. Do you remember Eliab? Job was here ably representing Eliab, the firstborn. He was tall and he was big and he was trained. And the Bible tells us that Eliab had the words of David and he was angry at him and said, who have you left the sheep with? You are not even supposed to be here. He didn't know that the delivery boy has been dispatched as the deliverer. Praise the name of the Lord. And he's getting angry because he knows that because of his height and because of his stature, he's among the people that should have gone forth and fight the enemy. That is why he's getting angry, because he's reading some sarcasm from David's words. Praise the name of the Lord. What shall be done to the man that shall kill this giant? Glory to God. And let me tell you, Pastor Chad, that the words of David, man of God, were rehearsed before the king, and the king called him. It's interesting, and I don't want to get into that, because David used to play for Saul. And every time he played, the evil spirit departed from him. And it appears that David comes to Saul at this time, and Saul is unable to recognize him. Because later you will see, he says, "Whose son is this youth?" He didn't know that the person that has delivered the nation is the same one that was playing for him in the palace, because of the evil spirit that has deranged his mind. And David went to Saul. What does he say? Give us verse 32. Praise the Lord. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine, this Philistine, to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You know, the most interesting thing about Saul, he is telling David, "You are not able to fight against this Philistine because this guy has been a fighter from his youth." I am asking myself, where was Saul to know that Goliath had fought all his life? The problem with this kind of people is that they have a habit of presenting a falsified resume of the enemy. Praise the Lord. There are people who are fond of giving a false resume of what the enemy has done. I don't know where Saul knew that Goliath had fought from his youth. And he said, "Thou art not able." You are not able to fight this guy. So what's the difference between Saul and David? Because he's saying you're not able to fight because of your youth. And him, he's older, he's a king, he has the army, but also he's not able. Thou art not able. And let me tell you, people of God, I want you to pray to God to give you a spirit of discernment, that you will be able to get rid of people who are telling you thou art not able. Yes. They are trying to recruit you into their failures. They are trying to recruit you into their loss. They are trying to recruit you into their inabilities. They are trying to recruit you into their defeat. Where did Saul know that David is not able to fight this Philistine? He was campaigning for the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are people who campaign for the devil, and they are telling you, you are not able to come out of that situation. Now, let me just be honest. You know, we are believers, but let me be honest. That situation, you will never come out of it. That debt, you are never going to come out of it. That divorce and its effects, you are never going to come out of it. That disease, let me tell you, people have even gone to the best hospitals in the world, and it has not been treated. Thou art not able. But look at the response that David gave. Glory to God. Ah, hallelujah. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35. "And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." Verse 36. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Listen to me. The reason why Saul was saying, "You are not able to fight the Philistine," is because he was not aware of the battles that you have fought in private. Yes, Am I speaking to somebody here? There are people who look at you and they say, you will not be able to conquer this situation. You can't be able to fight this giant. You can't measure to this situation. But they don't know the things that you have fought when you were alone, people of God. I want you to understand that every battle which you have fought in the private place, there comes a time that God will have to reward that victory. Yes. Am I speaking to somebody in the house of God? There is no battle that you have fought in the private place that will not count in your life. David said, it is not about my age, because you are servant. When I was taking care of my father's sheep, a lion came and a bear came to take the lamb out of the flock, and I went after him. I am not going to win in this battle. There are battles I have won before. Glory to God. There are battles that I have won. When I was in the bush, there was nobody to encourage me. When I was fighting the lion, there was nobody to put medicine on my wounds. When I was in the secret place and the private place, when I was in obscurity, fighting battles that nobody knows, only the Lord saw the victories that I had in private. And I came to tell somebody here that every giant killer is manufactured in the secret place. Listen to me, the day of the battle is not the day of the training. There are places in your life where you have gone and you have overcome depression. You battled depression for 3 years. You took drugs to sleep for 7 years. You fought divorce and its effects. You are being chased by auctioneers and debt collectors, and nobody's coming to encourage you. Listen to me, those battles you won in private, they must count at the Goliath moment. And I came to tell somebody here that the wilderness is the place where giant killers are designed. Glory to God. The battles that I fought, nobody would clap for me. Nobody would encourage me. Nobody would give me something. I slept outside on the streets. I had to go and take prescription medication. But the Lord delivered me from depression in private. The Lord delivered me from addictions in private. Listen to me, I have a history of victory. Glory to God. Thy servant fought the lion. Listen to me, Pastor Des. You cannot defeat Goliath until you defeat the lion and the bear. Many people think that victory just appears. Listen, you must have survived something. Hallelujah. The men and women of God who slay the giants are those who have been scratched by the lion and who have been beaten by the bear. The bear did not kill me, but it left a mark on my shoulder. The lion did not kill me, but it left a mark on my abdomen. The issue did not destroy me, but I have evidence that I have had victory before. Listen to me, people of God. When Jesus was crucified, the Bible says he rose from the dead with a new body, and he had an all glorious body except the marks of his suffering, people of God. The Bible says that Thomas said, until I see the evidence of his crucifixion, I will not believe it, people of God. I want you to understand that every wound you have picked from the past, you will use it as an evidence that God is about to give you the victory. Glory to God. The Bible says, thy servant killed the lion and the bear. Give me that verse. Yeah, it is. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I have a history of winning with God. Yes, glory to God. This has nothing to do with the size of the giant. It has nothing to do with the magnitude of the problem. God and I have a history of winning in private. I don't know what you are fighting today. Some of you could be fighting the lion, the bear. Nobody is there to cheer you on. Nobody is there to tell you it's going to be fine. Nobody is there to tell you that God will give you victory. And you take the battle all by yourself. But I want to believe when David was fighting the lion and the bear, that the Spirit of God was upon him. I want you to know, people of God, that every battle you have fought in private, God is going to reward you in public. Glory to God. God is going to give you a Goliath moment. Listen to me. He moved from the pasture to the palace, and now he's facing the Philistine. I want you to know that the pasture and the palace and the Philistine are all seasons of destiny. Glory to God. The pasture is the place of training. The palace is the place of introduction. And the Philistine is the place of public victory, people of God. I want you to understand as a believer that you have been designed to kill the giant. You have been designed to slay the giants, people of God. The structure of the believer is that God has designed them to defeat anything that is lifting itself up against the knowledge of God in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 38. Glory to God. We are about to pray because I can see God is raising some giant slayers in the house today. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Verse 39. What does it say? And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Listen to me, people of God. God will use what you are experienced with. If Saul believed that the armor would make David to win the war, he had the armor himself, he would have gone to use it. But I want you to understand that you cannot use the anointing on Pastor Des to win your battles. Glory to God. You cannot use the anointing on Pastor Stan to win the battle. Every person must have their own military capability for spiritual warfare. Nobody is going to transfer the ability to win a war to you. Glory to God. And he put them aside because David knew, I have won battles before, but not with this armor. Because there is another armor that I have used in the private place, and that is the presence of God. Hallelujah. We are about to pray. Look at that. And the Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stone out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He took the regalia of the shepherd to confront the giant that was facing the nation. People of God, I want you to see, go back to verse 40. He took 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Glory to God. 5 smooth stones out of the brook. It is impossible to have smooth stones at the origin of the brook. When the stones are cut off from the mountains and they begin to flow downwards together with the river, it takes time and distance for the stones to rub over each other until they become smooth. David did not pick a stone that has not been processed over time. 5 smooth stones. Glory to God. Which speaks of the fivefold ministry, of the apostolic and the prophetic and the evangelistic and the teaching ministry and the pastoral ministry. People of God, I want you to understand that what will give you victory is the empowerment that you get from the fivefold ministry that God has put in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. He took the 5 stones that had been smoothened. These are men and women of God that have been processed by time, that have been in the brooks of the Holy Spirit, that have been well, that has been made soft. They have been made smooth by going down through the mountains, and the water was flowing over them. They have experience in the brook. He took them and he put them on a scrip. And the Bible says, look at that, verse 41. And he says, verse 41, woo, glory to God, you can rise on your feet. And the Philistine came and drew nigh unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And verse 42, he says, Shala katazada bahai. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He dismissed him. Verse number 43, the Bible tells us, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves? And the Philistines cast David by his gods. People, I want you to understand something here, that this was the evidence to David that he's fighting a spiritual battle. He cast David by the name of his gods, and listen to what David says. David says, and the Philistine said to David, give us the next verse, verse 45. Glory to God. Verse 45. Woo! Is it, this is 44? And yes, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee. Shadabakatai. Glory to God. You have come to me in the name of your gods. When David heard the Goliath saying that I cast you in the name of my gods, David knew that the battle has shifted from being a military warfare to a spiritual warfare. David was cast by the names of the gods of the Philistines. But David said, you come to me with a sword, and you come to me with a spear, and you come to me with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Do I have people here who believe there is power in the name of the Lord to face every giant that you're facing in your life? I want you to understand, my people. The Bible says, people of God, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it, and they are safe, people of God. He said, I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Glory to God. I want you to understand that when the enemy is occupying your territory and the enemy is intimidating you, glory to God, I want you to understand that the difference between the delivery boy and the deliverer of the nation is the name of the Lord. I came to tell somebody here that the name of the Lord will make you to win the battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, hallelujah. The Bible says that I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46, look at what he says. Shalabakayada. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And the Bible tells us, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Glory to God. Every person that comes in the name of the Lord, God will deliver the giant in your hands. Do I have some giant killers at Rivers Church? I have fought private battles enough. I have been intimidated for a long time. I have been threatened for a long time. But I come in the name of the Lord. Do I have some people who come in the name of the Lord and to decree to every giant that today the Lord will deliver me into your hands? I have been designed for the giants. When I fought the lion, I was being designed. When I fought the bear, I was being designed. When I served my father, I was being designed. When oil was poured on my head, I was being designed by the one who owns the battle. I came to announce here, people of God, that every giant in your life can collapse today because of what God has done in your life. Glory to God. Shadabasai. Rekadabasai. Listen to what he says. Look at that. We are going to pray shortly. Woo. Glory to God. We come in the name of the Lord. They come with threats, but we come in the name of the Lord. They come with intimidation, but we come in the name of the Lord. Look at what he says. Ooh, glory to God. Verse 49. The Bible says, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Do you know what, woman of God? They are too big to miss. Glory to God. what he thought was his advantage has become the disadvantage. You are too big for me to miss somebody. That disease is too big for you to miss. That debt is too big for you to miss. That divorce is too big for you to miss. Listen to me. The giants have to come in that size so that you never miss it. If the giant was slender and was smaller, you needed a microscopic, precision. But they come big so that you never miss them, people of God. And I want to tell you, when David took that stone and sling it towards the enemy, the Holy Spirit took control of that stone. Glory to God to ensure that it is a hit on the first. You hit the target at the first attempt. We are not going to waste the other three stones of the enemy when we have the Spirit of God and we take the power of the Word of God from the fivefold and we throw it to the enemy. The Spirit of God will direct that stone so that the enemy collapses in front of you, people of God. He did not fall on the side. He did not fall on the back. He did not fall sideways. He fell to the front. In other words, he had to bow by force. Glory to God. He had to worship at the time of his death, people of God. The God he had defied, he had to bow before that God. And the Bible says that David went and took the sword of Goliath. Listen to me. Every weapon against you shall not prosper. In fact, Goliath was killed by the sword that he carried himself. I want to declare today that every weapon is returning to sender. In the name of Jesus, whatever the enemy came with, the enemy will be defeated by the same weapon that he came with. Hallelujah to God. I want us to lift up our hands and say, Lord, every giant in my life, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I want you to mention that giant by name. What is in your life that is facing you? What is in your life that has intimidated you? What is in your life that you cannot be able to defeat? It has come in your life for a long time. It has come in your family for a long time, and it keeps intimidating you. I want you to understand, people of God, that you have been designed to kill the giant. You have been designed. Shalabakatabasaya. Shetadabakatalaboshaya. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice. And I want you to say, I come in the name of the Lord. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord, the God of the Lord of hosts of Israel, the armies of whom you have defied, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Every giant, listen to me, church. Lord Abashata, Lekotazaraba. The battle belongs to God. The battle belongs to God. Every giant must bow. Every giant must collapse. Every Goliath must bow. But you have to come in the name of the Lord, the God of hosts, the armies of whom Goliath has defied. Shadabasaya labadai. Lekatadabasanta labazai. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to speak to that Goliath. Every giant is bowing down today. I don't know what giant you're facing in your life. Listen to me. That giant is bowing down today because of the name of the Lord. That giant is bowing down today because of the presence of the Lord in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for sticking into the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.